Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Moors. I'm your host, Akamane LB, and welcome to Moorish Talk Live 100. Today's topic is Moorish American Leadership. Now, I want you to understand the only reason I selected that title is to deliver information to our people. It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact of whether you are Moor or not a Moor. We are all people belonging to a particular species of people, and these are the people that I'm talking to. Today we'll be dealing with part two of pretty much just black leadership in America, and what I'm trying to do is give you some background information on what has transpired and why we are presenting or exhibiting behavioral patterns of a lack of real solid leadership in America. So therefore, what I'm going to do is give you the basic background of what has transpired so you will be up on some things and that we can, and then we can make the necessary changes and do what we're apt to do. Today we'll be coming from another book by the same brother, Naeem Akbar. This book is Visions for Black Men, and we are still dealing with leadership. I would like to start off by talking about going from male to boy, from boy to adolescence, and then going straight into manhood. And, of course, after that, we're dealing with pure, raw, naked leadership as a man. We're going to start with arrested development, and the brother writes the following on page 9 in his book. He says, an example of a boy who is arrested in his development is one who has paid more for his stereo system than he has paid for his books on his shelf. A boy is the adult who has more colored lights and party space than he has study space or workspace in his home. You are a boy when you pay more for your liquor than for your food, when your view of women is exclusively of someone to satisfy your various needs, then you are a boy. When you are preoccupied with someone to get back at, get over on, or get from, then you are a boy. When the primary use of your reason is for purpose of scheming or lying, then you are fixated in the boyish mentality. There is nothing wrong with a game as a means of disengaging or recreation. But when the game becomes a substitute for your life's plan, then you are still a boy. When other people are laying plans to rule the world and you are playing a card game, then your boyishness is an illness. When other people are writing books and you are shooting pool, then the game is a weapon against your progress and our progress as a nation. When you are interested in the football scores and other people are counting the advertising profits from the football game, then you have a boy's interest. When you spend 6 hours on the basketball court and 30 minutes in the library, then the game has become an excuse for suicide. Now, I want to stop right there and deal with that because that is a mouthful. And the brother has said a lot. And I think what has transpired is we have gotten away from the basics of how to move from boy to man. And what I'm attempting to do is to give you some very, very valuable information so that you can keep this information handy. And sisters, if you're listening to me and you have young males in your home, you want to remember this information. I want you to, if you can get a hold of this and put it in a file somewhere so you can play it over and over and over before your son so they can understand the difference between boy and men and how to move from boyhood or maleness to boyhood and then from boyhood, of course, into manhood. We have a community full of boys masquerading as men, and as a consequence, the community is lacking in effective leadership. Now, to change the condition of African-American people, until we stop playing games and start dealing with the imperatives of a man's world, we will remain in real trouble. Many of our problems that we face in our communities can be understood as a manifestation of the epidemic of boys who should be men. Now, we have to look at the fact that the black-on-black homicide rates and gang killings are clearly examples of boys playing with life. Now, this neglect of children by the fathers leading to the plagues of man absence in our communities is because the boys are all playing rather than taking care of their responsibilities. Now, we know this is true, and we can see this all across the United States. But what we have to do is we have to be cognizant of the basic motorist apparendi, what we have to do, and the mechanics and tools that we need to use in order to make the transformation from one point to the other. And we have to keep the basic principles in mind. Now, I'm also going to add some information, and I need you to be able to contact me when you get time, and I'll be more than happy to have discussions with you. You can reach me at area code 904-410-8119 after this broadcast, because I'm sure that there are many of you that have questions, and especially the sisters that have young sons and want to enable them and empower them to move from one point to the other. And I will give you access to me. You can contact me by email if you like. You can reach me at taraka99@yahoo.com. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A 99@yahoo.com. And please send for my free reports, the 14th Amendment Exposed and the Commerce Game and How to Play It, because that's very, very important in making a transformation and understanding where you are so that you can move where you need to go. Let's take a look at the drug epidemic in our communities. It is a boyish yearning for a dream world rather than facing the serious matters of reality. And we have to understand when a lot of brothers get out there and they want to sell drugs, they want to get cars and stuff, because they want recognition, they want to be seen and all of these things. All of that is a boyish mentality. And we have to get away from that type of situation because, see, a real man ain't going to sell no dope, and the reason being, the main reason being, is because he don't want to hurt nobody. And but young boys, and we have a lot of so-called men who are masquerading as boys that don't have this basic information. And we want to pass this on to the brothers so that they would know how to do and what to do. Now let's move forward to another section. And this is involving a whole different type of man. This is the one who has the emancipated mindset. And Brother Naeem Iqbal on page 11 in his book, Visions for Black Men, states the following. Emancipated minds are ones that have been able to leave the plantation of maleness, but have not achieved true manhood. They are not unlike those historical ancestors who achieved emancipation but not liberation, and found themselves returning to the plantation for their former masters to take care of them. So what does this mean in contemporary terms? This means that many of our brilliant and well-degreed brothers with training from America's finest institutions of higher learning are incapable of thinking or operating beyond the perimeter of the plantation. They are locked into a plantation mind. Now, I want to pause for a minute and let you let that sink in. So that we can get a clear understanding of what you just heard. If you come to them and suggest that we might consider some alternative ways of looking at things, they fall back on looking at the traditional experts to legitimize the new thinking. They cannot think in terms of other than the terms of European-American experts. If you introduce a new concept, they want to know where it came from. If you tell them that it came from your insides, from the legitimate reality of your own experience that you actually share with them, then they are skeptical. Where do you think the Europeans got their concepts from, if not from their experience, or at least applied concepts from other people to their experiences? The non-liberated, simply emancipated mind prefers the European-American reality to the African-American reality. We don't trust reality and the legitimacy of our own experience because we got emancipated, not liberated, and we are still not men. Now, you cannot be an effective leader inside any country unless you have embraced your own culture and have your own story and present that, because you cannot be trusted. Personally speaking, I couldn't trust a man who looked black and sound white. I don't know what he is. So what we need to do is do an investigative research into finding out who we are and what we can do to move forward and make the necessary changes that we need to make. Now, I want to go on to page 12, where we deal directly with transformation from boy to man. And keep in mind, this is all under the heading of Moore's Leadership in America. The brother writes the following. He says, how do we get from being a boy to becoming a man? The thing that moves us from male to boy is discipline. That frees the boy from being the slave of his male. Learning to exercise control over oneself is transformation energy. The force that transforms the person from being a boy to becoming a man is knowledge. Knowledge of self, knowledge of your story, and we need to get his story. The boy takes his budding rationality and uses it to expand his consciousness. In fact, it is critical that he should be guided in the use of yet immature reasoning so that it doesn't get entrapped in the form of boyishness, which we have discussed above. This is why good teachers, fathers, brothers, and uncles are so important. They are the instrument of guidance which help the boys move toward manhood. So many of our young men get arrested in the boyhood stage of development because they are improperly guided and end up being led away to prison or carried away to the cemetery. Consciousness is a natural possibility or potential, but it must be tended and guided in order for it to develop properly. Now, I want to say something to the fathers and uncles and the elders in the home that have young males. They're going to need your guidance. They're going to need you to talk to them. They're going to need to hear about the stories and stuff that you have to give them. And it is very important that we realize in order for them to make the transformation from boy to man that they're going to have to deal with something and somebody who has been where they are attempting to go. And all too often they do not have these men around in order to guide them and protect them and lead them in the way that they should go. So I want to encourage the brothers today who are older than the young men that you are around, and I also want to encourage you to get resources that you're going to need in order to pass this information on to them. I need you to contact me at tahaka99@yahoo.com. And you can reach me at area code 904-410-8119, and we can have a discussion and so we can deal with your circumstances if you have one. But this is very, very important information, and it is something that is vital and something that we are going to need to address as men in order to save our children because our children are in trouble. They are in prisons and all these other things. I'd like to end with something else here that was written by a gentleman. His name is Carter G. Woodson. He wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro, and I'm going to read from page 10. He says the following. He says, I'm sure if Woodson heard this, he would want to come back to the earth to slap him, and we're going to go a little higher. Carter G. Woodson is the classic book raises the questions, educated to do what? Educated to work for whom? The answer to these questions are answered in the powerful book in the one of my earlier books to be a popular, smart black peer group. I observed that many African-American youth who are doing well academically are accused of acting white. I'm sure if Woodson heard this, he would want to come back to the earth and slap them. Can you imagine people who built the first civilization and the architects of math, science, philosophy, medicine, religion, and the arts associate academic success with their oppressor? The genius of Woodson is that he knew this behavior is logical. If you are educated by people, white or black, who are victims of white supremacy, you will hate yourself. If you will possess in the European definition of beauty, a white image of Jesus, despise black professionals and business, and go to any length to be accepted by the oppressor, then you have a very serious problem. And he goes on to say the gentleman that's writing forward here. He said, Woodson was not only skeptical, critical of the educational system, but African-American ministers and politicians. The black community has 85,000 churches, but many of them are only open on Sunday. Now, I'd like to stop right there because I want to interject something. In order for us to do and be what we are supposed to be, we're going to have to, and it is very, very vital that we understand this, we have to embrace our own story. We have to be standing by and prepared to give anyone information on our position in this country as a person who is connected to their own culture, their own story. It is vital that we have this. This is the only way that someone can be given any type of assurance that you can be trusted. I mean, if you look black and sound white, if you are a person who's classified in black, but you have a Eurocentric consciousness in your brain, put yourself in the other person's shoes. He don't know what you are. How can he trust you? He can't. I mean, you look one way, you have a totally different ideology. How can you be trusted? But when you begin to let him know that you know who you are, you know where you came from, you are aware of the greatness and magnificence of your people and what you have done on this planet, and you are prepared to dispel all the lies and uncover all the hypocrisy, then you are one who is woke up. We can't come to you no any kind of way. You are forcing us to respect you because you are respecting yourself. You can afford to love somebody else because you have first loved yourself. You have respected yourself. You have embraced your culture and your identity. And that is how you move from boy to man. That is when you are able to stand up on this planet and call for the world to bow down in their heads, bow their heads in prayer, and pray to a God that look like you, that come from your culture. You understand? Now, I know this is quite shocking, but you cannot hope to be respected by anyone until you respect yourself, until you embrace yourself. You do not follow someone else who's not qualified to lead you. If they are not qualified, they cannot lead you anywhere. All too often I hear the brothers say, well, man, I got to hurry up, I got to get to work, I got to go to work for the man. Hey, go to work for the man? Well, what are you talking about? You're the man, he ain't never grown up. He's just like a little child. When things don't go his way, if he's playing marbles and things don't go his way, he want to take the marbles and end the game. You see, you're the man. You're the one who built the greatest civilizations the world has ever known. I'm going on to the next part here, and it says the boy takes his budding rationality and uses it to expand his consciousness. In fact, it is critical that he should be guided in the use of his yet immature reasoning so that it doesn't yet entrap in the form of boyishness, which we have discussed above. Now, I have read that, and I wanted to read it again because there's a trap awaiting for our sons when they're not guided and the elders are not taking responsibility for the young man, and we are not putting the information in his brain that's vital for him to know. Just sitting under the tree and telling him this, that, and the other is okay. But what we need to do is we need to get down to brass tacks. We need to get the books out, and we need to work together man to man, boy to man, and point out different things and have a discussion with one another so that we can move forward and make sure that we understand that when we are dealing with a young man, we're dealing with a very, very precious resource. He has a brain that is very, very powerful. And if we use it correctly and we guide it correctly, he will be able to make the transformation from boy to man. And he could very well emerge as another leader inside this country. But if we do not tender and fertilize our young children, which are the resources of our future, we run the risk of running aground. So therefore, as a nation, so therefore we have to do what we have to do. Now I want to go on to read the following. It says, what is consciousness? Consciousness is awareness. What is awareness? Awareness is the ability to see accurately. What is being able to see accurately means that one must properly oriented in space, time, and person, which means that the prerequisite for consciousness is to have some accurate image of oneself and the world in which he finds himself. What is the procedure for gaining this kind of information? The most objective way to gain proper orientation is to be thrown into the center of the arena of life. Learning about oneself comes from the confrontation of problems and the development of solutions for those problems. As you face real problems, you are forced to either sink or swim. If you sink, then you fail to make the transformation, or you must be rescued by someone who can swim. If you swim, then the first lesson is passed. That is vital and very important. This simply means that the process of educating your boys requires them to tackle real life problems and watch them find solutions. And in order for us to do this successfully, we are going to have to make sure that we set up very, very special time periods in order to teach these young men, and we don't ever want to do anything that is negative, because we have to keep in mind our elders that they are watching us and they're watching what we do, and they will imitate what we do. A young lion cannot become a full-grown lion until he hears the roar of a lion and sees the expression on the lion's face to know how to imitate it. So therefore, we must be very, very careful in what we do to ensuring that they are able to make the transformation from boy to man. And so I hope that I have given you something that you can use. This is very, very valuable information. It is involving black leadership in America, but we have to deal with the foundation and correct some changes that are going on, correct some problems that have happened in the past, so that we can do what we have to do in this country to embrace leadership and present ourselves as leaders. We want to make the transformation from boy to man, and in order to do that, we're going to have to go back and embrace our own culture and have a clear understanding, and we're going to need the leaders of our community. I'm your host. I'm Tahaka Amana Elbe. And I hope you have gotten something out of what I said. I'm going to say good morning, America.
Now.